More variety.
You're listening to Para X.
Take a drink from my magic potion. Soon you're gonna really feel fine. One sip and you will see things you never saw before. How do you feel? I feel fine. How do you feel? I feel fine. Up on my soul. All of a sudden there's a different world appearing in front of my eyes. If you don't want to try this potion, leave it all for me. How do you feel? I feel fine. How do you feel? I feel fine. Up on my soul, I feel fine.
To Stirring the Cauldron. Now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, Merry Meet, everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron here on the Para X Radio Network. I had to open with the song Magic Potion tonight because when my guest Bruce Tango shared the banner for tonight's show on his Facebook page, He mentioned that perhaps I could make him a magic potion. Well, as we all know, these things take time, and he didn't exactly specify what sort of magic potion he wanted, so to play it safe, I figured a song would suffice. For now. Now, Bruce is a highly decorated retired police officer from Elizabeth, New Jersey, and having spent 25-plus years on the force, he was involved in many aspects of law enforcement, including being a member of the SWAT team, a trained sniper, and is a recipient of 3 Valor Awards for heroism. And while some people would be content resting on their laurels, Bruce took a new career turn as a member of the Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters team, both in investigating locations as well as actively searching for locations to be considered for the show. And I'm very happy that he's here with me tonight. And Bruce, welcome to Stirring the Cauldron.
Well, thank you for having me, Marla.
We're going to have to figure out what kind of potion you need.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. I could use all the help I could get. So let me ponder that a little bit. Maybe you can whip something up for me. So, but I thought that was just.
Please.
Pardon me?
I said we aim to please.
Thank you very much.
I want to start out by talking about the fact that you were a police officer. I grew up with police officers. My mom worked undercover for the LAPD and the Central Bureau of Investigation for a lot of years, and that was at a time when the only jobs that most women could get on the force were desk jobs. And I learned much later on that I was unwittingly dragged along on investigations as part of her cover at times when I was a kid. You started your law enforcement career very early, being the youngest member to ever join the force when you were just 19. Did you always want to be a policeman, or were you growing up and then all of a sudden you decided? And also, was it allowed that you joined the force at such a young age, or did you kind of stretch the truth?
No, you really can't, because they really investigate you. But to answer your question, from a very young age, I actually wanted to become a doctor. And believe it or not, I did. I always wanted to do that, had an interest in science and stuff. But that wasn't to be, you know. My family wasn't very well off, to be totally honest. And, you have to be really good at math. And I was okay at math, but as I got older, I started getting more interested in the law enforcement field. And I was around the police officers a lot. I played Pop Warner football, PAL and stuff. So I met a lot of great people growing up that were detectives and police officers that, were very kind to me. And, when it happened, I became a cop almost within a year of graduating high school. That was back when they changed the law where you could drink at the age of 18, thus giving me the opportunity where you could become a cop at 18. So I actually took a lot of the tests while I was 18 years old, and I was sworn in. It's a pretty cool story because, I had been working, throughout high school. When I wasn't playing sports, I would work. And what happened is, when I took the test, they had told me they didn't think they were going to get to me because they were taking vets, veterans that were coming out of Vietnam and such, and that didn't bother me at all. I mean, those guys deserve all the perks they could get. But I did score really high on my physical and, physical test and a written test, so I was up there. And I went into the police department, and they said, "Bruce, it's touch and go, but I don't know if we're going to reach you." So I was okay. So when I decided to do this, I decided to join the Marines. So I went down and I talked to the recruiting officer in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and he told me to come back Monday. So I was going to go back Monday, and, you know, once you sign the paper, you're in. But I was having dinner at my sister's house. My mom, who I had been living with at that time, came bursting in saying, Bruce, you're going to be sworn in Monday morning. So had they not called on Sunday and got a hold of me, I would have been in the Marines for a few years. But it all worked out, and, you know, I became a police, the youngest that ever came on the job, and I did a little over 25 years, and I had a pretty interesting career.
Yeah, you did. But, you know, while you were on the force, did you ever feel kind of conflicted between your open-mindedness about the unscientific paranormal and the exacting police science?
Well, not really. I don't think there's an exact science with anything, to be honest with you. But I always believed in the paranormal ever since I was a little boy. I always had an interest in it since I was very young. Actually, I had some experiences as a police officer, which were hushed up by the department. We were told not to write any reports or even mention about that. That's loosening up nowadays, but still there are departments that I know for a fact that have activity, and they still don't want to come out and talk about it. But I get emails all the time from brother officers all over the country that tell me stories, but the chiefs are a little narrow-minded. But I can understand to an extent, you know, but...
Sure.
That's that.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of guessing that your years of experience and training on the police force come in handy while you're out on investigations, because perhaps you see more or find nuances that others may not. Would that be a correct assumption?
It would be correct. I've been told, and one of my big, I'm pretty perceptive. I notice things where a lot of people wouldn't. I've always been that way. I think outside the box, which helps me a lot. I'm very good with people, but I notice things that a lot of people don't. You know, I've been with my friend John Zaffis many times, and I've pointed out things, and he's complimented me, saying, "Listen, I would have never thought about that." And it's just my thought process. And being a police officer and dealing with people and situations does help while you're investigating. It's very similar. Just tweak it a little bit. You just rule out the obvious and you come up with, you know, usually with an answer. Or in some case you don't have an answer, and then you would decide that it would be a paranormal incident. But all those years of asking questions and looking into things absolutely did help me, or does help me.
Yeah. Now, one of your earliest paranormal experiences is when you were like 5 or 6 years old, and you woke up and found a man standing at the foot of your bed. Now, we know that children can see a lot more than adults because they have no filters. And some kids do grow up being able to keep that ability. As an adult, do you still see spirits, or was that a one-time thing?
Well, no, I had seen that entity 3 times. I was about 5. I had seen it 3 times. Now, I'm surprised you must have heard me talk about this before, but when it happened, the entities, I wasn't sick. It was in the middle of the night, and this entity showed up at the foot of my bed, and he didn't say or do anything. It was a male figure, and all it did, it was like catty-corner toward me. It wasn't face-to-face. He just turned his body, and his head was tilted towards me. And it was sort of like a smirk on his face. Didn't say or do anything. But obviously, I was very frightened. The first time he showed up, I just buried my head. And I did a lot of prayers, prayed a lot. And you know, it finally went away. And it showed up two more times. The third time he showed up, I got up, and my mom and dad used to leave the bathroom light on as a nightlight, you know, for us. I still do that to this day. I did it for my children. Mm-hmm. And I just went to the bathroom, and I sat in the bathroom crying for about a half hour, 40 minutes, if I can remember straight. And when I walked back into the room, I looked, and as soon as I turned to go back into my room, he was still standing there. So I just turned around. Now, while people, and I always explain this, and I'm not going to get into this too heavily right now, but why I didn't wake up my mom and dad? Well, as I explained to everybody, and I would have rather dealt with the entity than wake up my father. My father was a very stern man, let me put it this way. Mm-hmm. He was, unfortunately, I was probably a little more afraid of my father than the entity. If I had woken up my father, my life would have been terrible, but it was the fear. I you know, I'm being totally honest, and I don't want to get into it too much because it's very personal, and you know, if I ever write a book, which everybody tells me to, I'll explain a little bit further. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and I have a pretty good handle what I think it was. Even though it didn't do or say anything those mm-hmm. times it appeared to me, but I have a pretty good handle what I think it was. Because just to give you a little hint, none of those memories from that apartment were good. Nothing was happening. Nothing good was happening to anyone. You know, that's including my father, my sister, and mm-hmm. my mom. So, you know, but that type of thing, I ever since, I've never dealt with anything like that. Mm-hmm. Now, to finish answering your question, for many years, that hasn't happened, anything like that. And I guess at the round of age, around 16, I started going to cemeteries either by myself or with a friend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I do, you know, back then we didn't have the computer, so I did a lot of reading about hauntings and, you know, paranormal stuff and ghosts in the library. I spent a lot of time in the library when I was a kid. And mm-hmm. That's when I started going. Actually, I was doing ghost hunting, not to the extent that was now, but when I was 16, you know, and I did see a lot of things. Probably a lot of the things that I saw was nothing. I didn't have equipment like they have now. You know, all I had was my eyes, ears, and nose. The first piece of equipment I ever had was one of those Kodak Insta cameras and that weren't supposed to be used unless it was a holiday or a birthday. And, you know, my mom and dad would, you know, go in the closet and get it and wonder where it happened to all the you know, and I would get in trouble. Where's all the film at, you know, so I would get in trouble that way. But that being said, I just seen, for whatever reason, I've had mediums and people tell me it's because of my near-death experiences that, well, one of the theories is the reason why I do have a lot of experience, paranormal experience. I've seen and heard a lot of cool stuff, you know, in my lifetime. But there was a dry period there, you know, every once in a while something would happen as a police officer, something would happen. But as I got more into it, as I got older, I did have more experiences. So, and I do, you know, actually about 6 months ago, I had probably, one of the coolest experiences I ever had would equal the one when I was 5 years old. But, you know, that I can't get into right now. I'm hoping. It's a place that I checked out in New Jersey, and I've since suggested it to the production company to possibly film there because I did see a full-body apparition as clear as you would see me if I was standing in front of you. You know, mm-hmm. I did see something, and it was very, very cool. And I got the heebie-jeebies just talking about it right now. It's pretty cool.
Well, that's good. The heebie-jeebies keep us on our toes, for sure.
Exactly. I say heebie-jeebies all the time. I, you know, I'm not... I'm not as articulate as a lot of these scientists, but I get my points across.
Now, heebie-jeebie is very articulate and very descriptive. It truly is.
I know
is.
Everybody knows what it is. I love the word, you know.
Well, you know, we're talking about the paraworld in general. Some people only acknowledge ghosts or spirits, while others believe in demons or elementals or the djinn, shadow people, that kind of thing. How open are you to the belief in other entities aside from human spirits?
Oh, very open. I do the things, Marla, the things I've seen and heard in my lifetime, I wouldn't be able to doubt anybody, but I do believe, if I believe in the things that I've seen and heard, I can't doubt anybody that there are elementals, and I do believe it, in the things that you have just mentioned. I do believe that there's evil. I don't think it is as prevalent as Hollywood might want you to think of, but it is out there. You know,
you mean there's not a demon around every corner? Come on.
not every corner, you know, every other block, maybe, but no. But I do believe that there are entities that are evil, and as getting into the story as when I was a little boy. You know, I'm not one to knock anybody because, you know, there's no way to prove that. Even if I didn't believe them, which I do believe, you know, I wouldn't know how to disprove them, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I think a lot of us are of the same sensibility that there are evil things out there, but then there's a whole lot of people that decide they want to go on a ghost hunt for kicks, for fun. How do you feel about people that jump in with both feet without having any background or any respect or any knowledge of what they may be getting into?
Well, I think being a human, you're curious about things, and they people, I think, want to experience, but you know as well as I do, I've asked the question, you know, and a lot of skeptics, they've never experienced anything in their life, so they don't believe, and I sort of can understand that, but I've known people that were skeptics, finally had an experience, and now they believe, but, people enjoy the, you know, with the TV shows and everything, people want to go to these events, and it's cool to meet people and everything. I love meeting people, but it's important for the people running the event to explain things that, if they, you know, how to react. But you can't control a bunch of people and how they're going to act at these events. But I know what you're saying. I understand that they want to experience that, and I know you know the dangers of these things, and so do I, but I can't knock them for trying. You know, I understand, as long as they don't take things lightly. You try to explain to them as best as you can with the time allowed that, you know, how you should act, how you should react, and, you know, and hopefully they learn a little something about what, you know, investigating the paranormal is all about. Not that anybody's an expert, because there's no such thing. We all have different, you know, modes and, you know, methods of operation. And, you know, but there are dangers. People, you know, shouldn't try to conjure things unless you know what you're doing. And you know more about that than I do, Marla, you know, with... people, yeah. You know, trying to get to, you know, a bunch of kids getting together, trying to, you know, get an evil entity to show up, and, you know, they may get more than what they bargain for, so they shouldn't play with things they don't understand.
Exactly, and I know a lot of people that go out and say, I don't need protection, I'm fine, and then there are people that, you know, wear the medals or do the prayers or, you know, whatever they feel that helps along the way. Do you use any sort of protection?
Well, I'll say a prayer to myself. I don't tell people to pray, because I don't. I did that once and somebody got a little upset. So I tell. I just try to give them a. I said, this this is not your atypical investigation. What we're doing is we're spending a little time together to give you an idea of what, a small idea of what an investigation is like. Mm-hmm. Now, we may get something, we may not. I mean, I've been to I've had a few events where I've gotten outstanding things that happen, but sometimes nothing happens, and, you know, people start getting bored, they start laughing, talking, and everything, and people get angry. So you really have to have a handle on them, it's a difficult thing. I have no problem with somebody trying to experience something like that, but a lot of people just don't get it, if you understand what I'm saying. And mm-hmm. they just do things the wrong way. And I believe there's a lot of investigative teams out there that, profess to be experts. And like I said, there's no such thing in this field. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. And give advice. And if you don't know what you're doing and you're giving advice, you're hurting people really, really bad, and that's very unfortunate.
There's a lot of that out there. In fact, I was reading on Facebook a friend said that he got a call in the middle of the night from some people that were absolutely horrified because they'd had a team in earlier that evening. I guess things were going on in their house and negative things. And he said that they told the homeowner that the house was full of demons, lots of bad things, scared them to death, and then left. You know, and that's not an unusual story to hear sometimes.
Right.
But it's kind of unconscious.
I would like to know what kind of proof they show that person. You know, I've even heard stories of people making up, evidence to show people, about these groups that they have evil entities and such. And that's criminal, to be honest with you. That's just...
Yeah.
This is very, very bad to do, and when I go on an investigation, and it's something I don't understand, because I don't profess to understand everything, but I know how to reach people that do, so I have no problem, handing things off to other people that know about certain things that I don't, I'm not, mm-hmm. I don't have that type of ego, so... My idea is to try to get an idea of what's going on. And if I can help, I will help. And a lot of times you need some other things. And sometimes, it's said many times, that most of the time, what people think is paranormal can be explained, by a normal circumstance. So, it's only that 15% or so actually say that it is a paranormal experience. So,
mm-hmm. Exactly. And, there are so many people that are afraid to say, I don't know, because they're going to be taken, they think they're going to be taken like, well, you don't know anything, well, what are you doing here kind of thing. But I've always said it's the wise man who admits to not knowing rather than the person who thinks they know it all.
Right. I remember telling a doctor one time, I was speaking with a doctor, and I had just met him, and I asked him a question. Now, I don't even remember what the question was, because that's not the point here. But he looked at me and he says, Bruce, I don't know. I respected him. I respected him from that point on, because mm-hmm. he was very honest with me. He didn't know, but he said he'd try to find out the answer. I respect more a person more that would be honest. That would be honest, telling me, listen, I don't understand what's going on here, or I don't know. I mean, I like that, there's people that just don't want to admit that they don't understand things, so they would tend to make things up, which could be, very bad.
Yeah, turn you into a bonehead if you keep doing that. But also there are a lot of people out there who think that they don't know the difference between, let's say, an elemental or a negative entity, other than, they'll think, well, that's got to be demonic, rather than a spirit that might have just been a little bit grumpy in life, or maybe very grumpy in life. But there is a big difference between the two, and a lot of people don't see that. Do you run across that a lot?
Well... Well, yeah. Like I said, I haven't dealt too much. I actually I was contacted this past week by somebody in my town where a woman had two little children and an older son. And long story short, I may be going off in tangents here, but the little boy was thrown down the stairs three times, and he broke his arm three times, twice inside and once outside. Now, so, you know, as a police officer, you know, you think, is this an abusive parent? Is, you know, one of the other siblings doing it? But the little boy insists that it's another little boy that lives in his room. Mm-hmm. And the mom has since left. I just talked to her about a week ago, and since left the house, and it's actually up for sale. Nobody's bought it yet. Mm-hmm. But I intend to go there. Now, they've actually seen an apparition of a man walking up the stairs, and they all got out of the house, called the cops. And I checked into that. They did make phone calls. I'd asked, was DICES, which is the, you know, Child Protection Agency, you know, they were brought in, and everything seems to be on the up and up. So I'm anxious to go over there, and just get a feeling of what might be happening. She told me, she says, Mr. Tango, she says, I love this. It's a very small house. She says, I love this little house. It was my dream house. She says, mm-hmm. but I'm so afraid. I just can't live in it here anymore. I said, I'm afraid that something worse is going to happen to my, you know, little boy. And it's only mm-hmm. the one son, mm-hmm. you know, for whatever reason. But the older son saw the apparition. That's when everybody went out, you know, out of the house. They saw the guy walking up the stairs. Cops came in, checked the whole house out. There was nobody there. So, but it's a cool. But I get back to your answers. You know, a lot of people, and until you get into it real heavy, you're not going to know what you have. You know, be it a spirit or an elemental or some type of evil entity. That takes a lot of investigation, a lot of knowledge, and. You know, and sometimes help, you know, some, you know, get asking help from other people and other opinions. And then, you know, it's all, to be honest, we don't know all the answers. Everything we deal with is theory. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say, we're not going to get the answers until, you know, we pass on, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I know what we strive for. And the field is very interesting. I don't know if we're ever going to get the answers. This is just my opinion. I don't know if we ever will get the answers. And to take it a step further, I don't know if we're meant to get the answers. But I know that these things do happen. And I'm not out there to convince anybody. I don't try to do that. I tell my stories. I explain what I can explain. And, but these things do happen, and if you don't believe me, that's okay.
No, well, I absolutely agree with you that my theory, too, is that we're allowed to poke around and nose around about it. We get hints and clues here and there, but I don't think that we will find out as living beings. I think we need to pass over to get there because they're just certain things. I think they want us to know that there is an afterlife. But
you know what? That's exactly what I say to people sometimes now. I'm a religious man, and I have my beliefs. And, you know, and I say, and this is just a little theory. I thought maybe these are just little glimpses from God. You know, letting us know that something else is there, you know, but why, you know, still keep us guessing, you know, and, you know, why can't we know? I wish we did know. And it's just, you know, now I know what the word faith means. And I mm-hmm. understand it, you know, says, but, you know, God gave me a brain, and if it would be cool to find out, but like I said, I don't know if we're ever going to find out, but we're trying. You never know. Until we do an EVP session, you know, and we deal with a bunch of answers that are complete sentences, and we can have a conversation that way, you know, who am I talking to? What's going on over there? You know, do we have a physical body? Is it just a consciousness thing? You know, these are the questions, you know. People, I was asked on the last show, what would be the question you would ask somebody that was on the side? And jokingly, I said, you know, is there any beer in heaven? seriously, you know, it's something I would like to know, but I don't know if we're, again, not to be repetitive, I don't know if we'll ever get the answer until, you know, that time comes.
Well, you said a very important thing, and I was going to say that too when you did. The key word is faith, and I think they are giving us enough, and again, my opinion, giving us enough to have faith rather than, you know, ashes to ashes, you're done kind of thing. Now, what the purpose of that faith is, maybe, I don't know, you know. I mean, to know that there's an afterlife, does that do us any good? Does that lead into the question of reincarnation or karma or, you know, any of those things? I don't exactly know why we're supposed to have faith. But this, you know, for people that don't, and some of us that even do, this is even a better bit of knowledge to keep you going, I think. Maybe to be a better person, I don't know. That's one of the unanswered.
That's a very good point, and I agree with you there. I mean, I've had conversations with, you know, some of you know, pretty intelligent people, and they say, you know, that are also very religious, and they say, Bruce, you know, your faith is not strong. I said, no, my faith is strong, but it's still a part of me that would like to know. And I said, the things that I'm seeing, you know, are these just things projected in my mind, you know? But then I you know, if two people together are seeing the same thing, how could that be? Or is it, I mean, just every time you might can come close to an answer, you come up with more questions.
So, yeah.
Like I said, I don't know if we'll ever get the answers, but it's cool to experience. That's the best way I put it. I mean, I get very excited when I have an experience, and I've had quite a few of them in my time. When I do presentations, I say, listen, I'm not here to change anybody's mind or, you know, make you believe this or anything. I'll answer your questions. I'll be very, I'm brutally honest sometimes. And, you know, you make up your own mind, you know, because you never know when something's going to happen. I mean, I remember one of the best disembodied voices that I had. I was doing a presentation, doing an EVP session, and I had about 15 people around me by a stairway. And long story short, a little girl had asked a question. There's this little boy that's always seen playing with a ball. And I asked her to ask the little boy if he would go out and play. And as clear as you hear me talking now, and this is sort of like a lifetime for a disembodied voice, must have been a good 10, 12 seconds, you could hear that little boy laughing and giggling. And Marla, I tell you, it almost cleared the whole place out. I had two guys that were corrections officers. You know, they were knocking each other out of the way to get to the door. I had ladies crying. And that little girl that asked the question, she was so cool. She just stood there and just looked up the stairs. And, you know, I try to tell them that you just experience something that most people will never get the experience in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. It was really, really cool. But you know, it was frightening, and I can understand them being frightened because we are frightened of things we don't understand. But I, you know, most of the things out there aren't going to bother you. So
no, and again, that's another big misnomer. You know, people that are very anti doing this sort of thing. Well, no, you're opening a portal. You're bringing in all these demons. You're bringing in all the blah, 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 blah. When in reality, you're right. First of all, and you know this as well as anybody, you can go on an investigation for 8 hours and get nothing. So it's not like you walk out there and say, okay, here I am, come to me, and something will happen. I mean, it's not a dog and pony show. But, you know, there are those who are opposed to this that jump up and down and say, you know, you're going against everything in the world and, you know, you're bringing in opening Pandora's box kind of thing. Again, that's just people not understanding or, you know, uneducated about it. But then there are people who will never believe. And as you said, there's no point in ever trying to convince somebody of something that they're going to have blinders on about to begin with.
Absolutely. I don't even try. I mean, you know, I tell everybody I'm not here to convince anybody or you know, I ask, is there any skeptic? Because I'm a skeptic. That's how I... You know, how I go into an investigation. I you know, my job is to try to figure things out, and I'm pretty good at it. You know, but and if I don't have an answer, I try to find an answer from somebody else or somebody. If I run into something I'm not sure of, I'll ask for help. Like I said, but people are people. They just as far as getting back, we talk about you know, opening up Pandora's box. Being afraid to do these things, nonsense, mm-hmm. Because I always say, I was a police officer for over 25 years. You want to see evil? I can tell you stories. You'll have nightmares, you know, for months to come of the things I've seen human beings do to other human beings. You know, it's the people that, unfortunately, it's the people that are living that you have to be afraid of, not these spirits. I mean, mm-hmm. there might be a few exceptions here and there, but, you know, basically, ghosts don't hurt you. In my opinion, that's just my opinion.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, you know, there's good and bad. There's always the yin and the yang, the black and the white, you know.
Absolutely, I do agree with that.
So that's what people need to be mindful about. That's basically right. It. Now, a minute ago, you talked about being a religious person, and we've kind of touched on this, but have your paranormal experiences strengthened your religious beliefs, or have they caused you to question some of what you were originally taught?
No, if anything, I think they've strengthened them a little bit, that just in my opinion, that there is something more, you know, after my death. And, somebody had asked me, you know, one of the questions that I would ask when I got off the, I told you I made a joke, is there any beer in heaven? But, mm-hmm. You know, you might find this strange, but to me this is important to me now while I'm living. Maybe this won't be important to me when I passed on. But if I could ask somebody a question, that's on the other side, and have a conversation, I would ask if we still have a physical body. Because I think one of the greatest things we do, or the nicest things we do as human beings, an affectionate thing, is to hug each other. Now, I love my sons, and to this day, my oldest son is 30, going to be 31. Dave is 28. And the first thing they do is hug me and give me a kiss. Which I love. That's just me, and I love that. That means more to me than anything in the world. Now, that embrace means so much. So I'm just wondering if we would still be able to do that. Because to me, right now, in the state I am right now, is an important thing to me, if that makes any sense to you at all.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Sometimes when hugs aren't available.
Or is it just a consciousness thing? We don't know, but right now in my human form, I just would love to know if we do have, you know, another physical body, be it the same or different, and being able to, be around your loved ones, you know, my family again, that to me right now is very important. Maybe it won't be important in the next life. I don't know.
Right, right. Well, again, that's when we find out down the line. All right, I've got an interesting question for you, but it's going to make you think a little bit. If you could pick a dream team for a special one-time investigation, who would your teammates be, and where would you be investigating? Now, these could be people living, dead, whatever, you know.
A dream team doing a paranormal investigation, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And where would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a very good question, and I would want the guys from TAPS. I would want my son, Steve, Jason, just that team, and I would throw my buddy John Zaffis in there. I mean, I would like to. I have a lot of friends, and you know, I'm not. This is a tough question to answer because everybody does. Everybody, and I don't want to alienate anybody, but I'm not afraid to answer the question. But mm-hmm. you know, everybody does things differently. But if I needed to pick a few right now, I mean, there's teams that are not well known that do a great job out there. I wouldn't be afraid, but if he asked me, I definitely want my son and Steve and the guys, you know, Jay Grant and my buddy John Zaffis, and you know, that definitely. But in the place that I have it on my bucket list that I would like to go to one day and investigate would be the Colosseum in Rome.
Well, I think I found another place that you might want to investigate, and I haven't listened to all your interviews, but I haven't heard you mention this place. I know you're a big John Wayne fan.
Absolutely. And
his yacht.
Hey, you find out a lot about me. That's pretty cool.
Hey, I'm nosy. I got to prepare. Yes, I dig.
Good. Yeah, very much.
Well, his yacht, the Wild Goose, which is in Newport Beach out here in California, which is a converted minesweeper from the World War II era, is reportedly quite haunted by the Duke himself. So would you put the Wild Goose on your paranormal bucket list if you have the chance to investigate there?
Absolutely. You hit something that I've been asked who's your favorite actors, and the two that I would say would be James Cagney would actually be my number one favorite mm-hmm. actor, because I think he does it all, you know, sing, dance, act. He's just a great, anything with James, you know, James Cagney. But John Wayne's right there. I mean, you know, the Duke is pretty cool, you know, big Western, you know, fan. But I would love to do that, Marl. That would be exciting for me. I mean, you're right. I mean, the Colosseum is really cool, but what's it called again?
The Wild Goose.
The Wild Goose. Yeah, I've seen a video of him on there and everything. That's right. That would be great.
Mm-hmm. And they see him quite frequently. There have been a couple of investigations on there that were televised, and there's a lot written about it. Now, I would love to go there, too. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, how often do you get to see John Wayne? I did an investigation at a place called the Formosa Cafe, which is right across the street from the Warner Studios in Hollywood. And John Wayne used to go there all the time. I'll tell you a quick John Wayne story. And he used to hang out, you know, and he had a particular table in the back. That was John Wayne's table. It was bigger than all the rest of them because he would always have people around him. And to show you what type of guy he was, one night he came in, and he probably had one or two drinks too many, and he fell asleep at the booth. And so they were getting ready to close up, and the wait staff said, well, you know, should we wake him up, or, you know, should we just leave him there? And they knew him very well, and they trusted him. They said, no, let's go ahead and lock up, and, you know, he'll wake up in the morning, he'll let himself out. So apparently he slept through the night, and early the next morning, the owner of the cafe came in, and he hears, like, pots and pans rattling in the kitchen, and, you know, he doesn't know what the hell is going on. And he walks back in there, and he goes, oh, my God. And the minute John Wayne saw him, he says, hey, how do you like your eggs? I'm cooking breakfast.
So I thought that's a great story. That really is.
It is.
Yeah, and, you imagine walking in there. you know, and walking into the place to see John Wayne there cooking breakfast for you. You know, one of my favorite, I know we're getting off the subject a little bit, but one of my favorite actors I finally got to meet. I talked to him several times on the phone a few years back. He actually called me when I wrote a letter to him. I wanted him to appear at a benefit if he could. And he called me, and we wound up talking for about a half hour. It was so exciting. And I finally got to meet him at Dragon Con in Atlanta a couple of years back, Ernest Borgnine. One of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. I mean, he was actually at the table next to us. I got to spend a little time with him and talk about certain things, and he was surprised that I knew a few of the shows that he did, and one that I had mentioned, he did a little part on Little House on the Prairie, where he actually played God, and I told him, you know, I don't think there was anybody that could do that bit as good as that he could. And he said to me, he says, Bruce, it's funny you should say that. He says, out of all the things I've ever done, excuse me, he says, people think that's probably one of the best acting that I've ever done or that they've ever seen. He says, it's amazing that you would bring that up. But what a kind man. He was, I mean, he was 90. At that time, I think he was 91, and he looked like he was 65. He looked great. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you know, he passed away last year. So, but what a nice man.
Yeah, how great it was to meet him. Well, if you make me a promise that if you ever get the chance to come to the West Coast and you get on the Wild Goose, I get to come with you because I'd really love to see that.
I would love to do it, Marlon. Honestly, if I do, I'll be sure to get a hold of you.
Okay,
I would love to do that.
Good. One thing I want to get into a little bit before we run out of time, which is rapidly approaching. I mentioned earlier that when you're looking, that you look for locations for the show sometimes. So when you're out looking for locations to be considered for the show, what are some of the specifics about the locations that you're looking for? Anything in particular?
Well, because it's a TV show, you know, you like to have a good story behind it, but it doesn't necessarily have it. But every once in a while, you come across with, you know, that is said to be it's said to be haunted, you know, maybe a historical story or somebody lived there or anything. But every once in a while, Marla, I go to a place, be it historical or a residence, and it'll be during the day. And as I said 6 months ago, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And when I saw the full body apparition, the first thing that came to my mind was, this guy's trying to pull the wool over my eyes, you know, because we were the only two in there. But it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and actually it was an apparition of a young child. And I'm looking at this guy. I said, did you see that? And it was a stupid question for me to ask him because he was facing me. And I darted right where, I mean, it was like I was there 2 seconds after I saw where the little girl ran to, and all it was a corner. There was no place for her to go, no place, you know, for her to hide. And believe me, I could find people. It was a truly, truly exciting time for me. And he looked at me and he said, Bruce, it happens all the time. Then he went on and he told me a few more stories, which would explain why that little girl was there. But I'm hoping that I don't make the decisions. I hope they do decide to film there. But you know, being in the show, you want some, you want something interesting. To me, it doesn't matter if the place, if a telephone booth was said to be haunted, I'd go in a telephone booth. But obviously, you can't do a show, you know, a show there. So I try to find interesting places that have true paranormal, you know, things happen. You know, obviously, you know, I'm really good with people. I know when somebody's BSing me right off the bat. And I've actually said hello and goodbye. I've been in places, I've been in and out of places within 5-10 minutes. Because I know, when people are just trying to get the attention. But, you look for an interesting story and legit, paranormal activity.
Mm-hmm.
So, but,
exactly.
It doesn't hurt having a good history behind it and a good story, because actually that helps with promoting the show. But the main thing is to try to find the answers to the paranormal activity that they have at the place, wherever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm all about the history, and I always say where there are history, there are spirits. And sometimes you just have to dig them up. No pun intended.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, if we don't get out of here pretty quick, the parapolice are going to come force the issue. But where can people find you on the web or in general, in case anybody wants to know more about you or has questions or whatever?
Well, I'm on Facebook. I'm been yelled at by a lot of people. I have to get a website, which I'm working on. But I'm on Facebook. Anybody can reach me, that way. I'm easy. I'm not a tech person. I really am not. I'm old school. I surround myself with people that know more about tech. If these young people only would take the time to show this old man how to work some of these things, I wouldn't need them all the time, I am on Facebook, and I've had it for several years now, and I'm still learning more about it. But mm-hmm. when I have an event, I know how to put it out there and such, so I'm getting there.
Yeah, and you are a busy man, and you have lots of events, so anybody that wants to know where you're going to be and when, Facebook is a good place to check, yes?
Yes, it is. Whenever I'm going anywhere, or I'm having anything, having an event, I usually put it up on Facebook. And then my son and the other guys will do the same. So once we decide something, and they could go, they're looking to go to see one of the events where either my son or Steve or Jay or any of the guys from the TAPS team, you could go on the Atlantic Paranormal Society, and they have an event. You can click on events and find out what everybody's doing.
That sounds good. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight, and you've got an open invitation to come back anytime you like, because we can get into a lot of stuff.
Yes, we can. I really enjoy this, Marla, and I thank you for having me, and it was an extreme pleasure.
Well, my pleasure, and stay on the line so we can thank you properly after we get completely off the air. And okay. As always, I want to thank all of you for listening in tonight, because without you guys, there would be no me. Well, I would be, but not here. And until next week, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
This has been another edition of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for another great guest and more fun. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2009.
You have been listening to the Para-X Radio Network.